Things are just getting creepy. And maybe it's Halloween. Or maybe it's just, it's the news. According to me. Oh, good morning. It's Tuesday, October 29th, 8:12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is the, one of the earlier shows I've done in a while. I can't believe it's Tuesday already. There will be a show tomorrow. There will be a show Thursday, as far as I know. Lord willing. There'll be Friday, however, there will be probably no show. I doubt that there'll be a show on Friday. Which unfortunately is, we'll have a show. Don't worry. We'll have a show on the 4th. Possibly have a show on the 3rd. Let's see. The 3rd falls on it. What does that fall on? I don't remember. Whatever it is. We'll have a show on the 4th and the 5th, as far as I know. The 4th, for sure, on the 4th. That morning, we will have a show. However, it's very possible that we may not have a show on the 5th. I don't know how that's going to work out. I may be traveling on the 5th, so I don't know. We'll have to see how it works. Anyway, besides that, we'll just the whole creepy thing. I forgot about the fact. Until I started saying that, I forgot about the fact that it was Halloween. I guess it is Halloween. More importantly, what's in my cup? I guess what, and of course, what's the dog doing now? The dog was laying there peacefully until I started talking, and then he started scratching at the floor. And he's trying to tell me something. We have chai. I'm at the home studio this morning, so I have chai, and I have Almond Joy creamer in my chai this morning, which is oh so special. I'm not saying this is going to be a good day. All I'm saying is this moment is good. This is a very good moment. Here I am behind the microphone speaking to my favorite people in the world. And I've got creamy vanilla Big Train chai with Almond Joy creamer. And as my backup cup, it's almost perfection here. Not quite. I have Chick-fil-A sweet tea. It's going to be a good morning. Chick-fil-A sweet tea is almost as good as my tea. Not quite. If I had my peach tea here, this would be just a perfect moment. I would just sit here in quietness for just a moment, just to enjoy it with you, listening to nothing on my podcast for, I might just have a 30-minute podcast with just nothing, just me sipping on stuff. I'm sure you would enjoy that as much as I would. I have, there's several things I want to talk about. I've got some audio clips. This is just getting creepy now. I don't understand. It is so cringe. I don't cringe very often. It takes a lot to make me cringe, to be quite frank. I see stuff and it's like that, like this stupid joke that this guy told at the Madison Square Garden, comedian guy, Kill Bill or whatever. I don't know what his name is. I have never heard of this guy. So I don't know why did they come up with an actual comedian like Brad Stein or something? What's this guy? I've never heard of this guy. Am I so out of the loop? And he's telling these jokes, and one of the jokes he told was that there's this floating island of trash out in the ocean. It's called Puerto Rico. Well, Puerto Rico, it's not funny if you don't know. Puerto Rico has an incredible garbage issue. They don't know what to do with their garbage. They keep importing stuff that requires disposal, plastics and all kinds of crap that they don't know what to do with. They don't have any contracts with anything, any kind of disposal system there. They don't have a plan for disposing of all this stuff. And so they've got garbage piling up. The place is going to become a garbage heap because they keep importing garbage and they don't have a place to put it. This is called poor management, poor governance is what it is. You negotiate these things when you start to import things. You have to have a plan in place. Part of your fees for importing things, if somebody wants to sell something and sell a product on your island, you have to work it out so that they have to pay for disposal fees up front. Of course, they pass that on to the customer, whatever. That's fine. If you're living on, you want to live on an island, dude, you got to pay for it. You don't want to live on a trash heap, then you got to pay for it. I'm going to buy cheap plastic crap, that's, you got to pay for it. Just go somewhere, you got to pay for it. This is one of the biggest problems with this kind of a closed society. When you have an island like that, you don't there's only so much you can do. You don't have so many resources. You can't, you know, people are becoming your resources, and you have to have certain skills. Hopefully, you have certain skills to generate revenue, and you have to have trade. You can't just grow an island and keep on growing and not have any kind of export import kind of thing going on. It becomes rather complicated sometimes. But sometimes it looks complicated. I should say it looks complicated on the surface. When you boil it down, it just has to be common sense, thought through policies. This is what the elders are supposed to be there on the island and the tribe. You know, they sit there and think through these things all day long while you're out doing the work, and they're thinking through how are we going to manage all this and make it sustainable. So the old geezers, that's why the old geezers aren't out working in the fields anymore. They're just sitting around figuring out how this is going to work. And of course, many times as most people do, they become selfish and they start to realize, oh, I could sit here and just clean all this off and give it to my family and take all this money and then leave the rest of the island in shambles. And that's what happens. That becomes an oligarchy. It becomes some kind of a tribal problem. And that's where you have tribal issues. It's, you know, there's the Germanic tribes had the same issue going on. It's been going on for millennial. But anyway, we have a couple, this right off the presses here. Tim Walz, apparently, who cares? Maybe his wife. I don't know. Apparently he had an affair. You know, he went back and forth to China like 35 times. And he claims the reason he was going back and forth, because I learned so much about democracy. Hey, you learn a lot about democracy by going to a communist country 35 times. He obviously loved China. Or I should say he loved something in China. There was at least one. I'm not going to put it past him. If there was one, there was probably more. I'm sure he was on the take for who knows whatever he's doing over there. But this one particular individual has come forward and said that he defrauded her. He made it sound like he was going to have this relationship with her, and they were going to have, she thought they were going to get married and have kids. He was just over there for so they. Yeah, he had this ongoing thing going on with this. And I guess it was some high-level official's daughter. And, of course, the family found out about all this, and she was basically ostracized. She almost jumped off of a bridge. She when this whole thing fell apart and she realized that he wasn't going to marry her, wasn't going to stay with her, they weren't going to have a family, she went out. She was so devastated that she contemplated jumping off of a bridge. She actually went to the bridge. Thank God she's still alive. I don't know if she's still living in China. I'm not sure what's going on, but she came out with this entire big, long story. And I mean, there's details, dates, everything's correct. Of course, he's not, the Harris campaign's not responding, not commenting on this. Now, granted, this was like, what is it, 18, 20, 30, 30 years ago, whatever it was. I don't know. But it's just one of those things. Here we go again, Fang Fang. You know, this is just the whole thing. Now, fortunately, this was not, you know, she was an adult. She wasn't a child. Female, which, you know, all those things are kind of surprising, actually. But she come out with us all this stuff. Like, this is the October surprise. All these October surprises that come out. Anyway, I was talking about this joke thing, this whole joke thing. This guy said this thing about Puerto Rico. And it's getting flack from both Republicans and Democrats, especially, of course. But by the way, I said especially, not especially. I don't know if it sounded like I said it. Almost sounded like I said especially. It's especially. It's not especially. I hear people say this all the time. Look at the word. Look how it's spelled. There's no C before the S. The C comes after the S, much like science. You don't say science. Anyway, one of my pet peeves. I hear this all the time on so many YouTube channels. Especially on YouTube. So I have this guy says this thing, and it's this joke about the garbage thing. And he said something else about Latinos, and of course he makes a joke about his buddy sees his buddy out in the out, it probably wasn't anybody out there, the lampshade on his head, and they were carving watermelons. It was just one of those things where who chose this guy, first of all? Was this a Laura Trump thing? Did she choose this guy? Who was in charge of putting this guy in there? I really don't have a problem with this guy saying what he wants to say. I consider him an individual who he made it through the gauntlet of getting on the show, getting on stage, and it's a show. Don't get me wrong. On the theater, the political theater that's going on here. Just speaking of political theater, I'm getting out of so many bunny trails to go down today. It's just like they're running everywhere. I can see them all, and I want to go down all of them all at the same time. So we have the Gretchen Whitmer bar with Kamala. They're just sitting at a bar. You know, it's just a cameo. We're just sitting here enjoying a couple beers, cussing and swearing, like, you know, Joe Sixpack. We're just out here having our beer, which they're both glasses are completely full. There's no evidence that they're even actually drinking out of these stupid. Both glasses are like brimming over, and they're still taking sips out of these beers, and they're not okay. That's not the way you drink a beer. I don't drink beer, but I've seen beer being drank, and that's not the way they're trying to appeal to men. That's what they're trying to do. She's down with men. She even starts talking about it. And then, oh, I forgot. Oh, look, there's microphones. They're catching everything we're saying. Oh, crap. Oh, no. They didn't use the word crap. They used the S word. But they're trying to make it sound like, oh, we're just whatever. What is it with women? What is it with people in general who think that by using cuss words, it somehow makes them more adult? What is that? Now, I'm not saying you're less of an adult. All I'm saying is, sometimes it seems like it's gratuitous. And I see this. Megyn Kelly does this all the time. And I just, she goes through all of this effort to make herself look attractive with her makeup and her hair and her outfit and everything else she spends money on. And then she has cuss words flying out of her mouth. And I'm sorry, but that just doesn't make you look very attractive. Cussing is not attractive to me. I don't know why that's, it just, it's, not, it's, it destroys, it undermines your class. And I guess that's, if you're trying to be a classy person, and I hear Trump does this all the time, he'll cuss. And I don't like it. Okay, I'm not judging you and saying, oh, you're less of a person. All I'm saying is, I feel bad for you. I feel like you're undermining yourself. You're undermining your level of class. It becomes sophomoric, in my opinion. I just don't like, whatever, I feel bad for you. I guess that's the term I want to use. Now, I have to say, I also feel bad for Kamala Harris right now. I feel like she's been put in a position that she has no business being in, and she doesn't understand how she's being manipulated. This is way over her head. Folks, if she wins this election, there's something very wrong. Now, I saw this little interview with, I don't necessarily like the guy. However, he seems like he has kind of turned around on the whole. He's not as much of an establishment guy as he used to be. Newt Gingrich. Now, I don't know. Sorry, I coughed in the microphone there. I tried to hit the button there. Didn't get hit. The Newt Gingrich was interviewed recently about this whole election fraud thing, and he was mentioning, you know, elections being stolen and all kinds of stuff. And this guy pushed back. Oh, there's no evidence, no trials. This guy, right away, they get in your face and there's no evidence. You can't say that. You can't say that there was any evidence that you think the 2020 election was stolen. Well, there's no evidence. And just get all over this guy. Well, Newt was referring to the whole thing back when Al Franken was going through his election. I think it was in Minnesota, I think. All of a sudden, they found a whole bunch of ballots in somebody's trunk. Oh, gee, we found all these ballots in somebody's trunk. Better count those. Oh, happen to be all Democrats. Oh, happens to me. Oh, look, he won. We're supposed to be okay with that. Now, right now in Nevada, why? My question is, why do they push so hard on the left to do things that are obviously opens up the gates for nefarious activity? Here we are in Nevada, all in the name of, well, we don't want to disenfranchise anybody. We got to make sure all the votes count. Everybody don't have a vote. We got to make sure you count all these votes, make sure they all get in. And yet the nefarious activity that can happen because of their procedure. Here's what's happening in Nevada. And I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a financial counselor. But here's what's happening in Nevada. They're going back and forth with all these legal cases, and they're flying all over the place. This may eventually go to the Supreme Court before the election, and it's very possible that it may set a precedent in the entire country. However, here's what they're doing. They're saying, they're arguing back and forth. They're being sued. There's all kinds. It has gone to the Nevada Supreme Court. Of course, the Nevada Supreme Court has ruled that if ballots come in after the election, they can be counted. Up to 3 days after the election, they can be counted, even if they're not postmarked. Now, if they're postmarked the day after the election, I guess they can't be used. But if you can't read the postmark, or if they have no postmark at all, that can be counted 3 days after the election. Now, I get it if it's kind of like that, you know, you take the shot and the bell ring and the buzzer goes off and the shot still counts because it left your hand before the buzzer rang. Okay, I get it. That's a rule. I can accept that one. Okay, somebody who sends in their ballot a day before the election, let's go ahead and count it because they did place their ballot in the box. It's kind of like paying your bill. You know, when you pay your bill, as long as it's postmarked before the due date, they won't charge you extra. So theoretically, some places won't. Okay, I get it. That's almost acceptable. And I can go along with that one, as long as it's postmarked. Now that also adds to there can be some nefarious activity going on with the Postal Service. And don't tell me that there isn't any. There's a lot of postals. I would not put it past some of these people, especially in some of the bigger towns and some of the precincts. There's a union, Postal Workers Union there, by the way, and many of them have. Yeah, that's just, okay. So that, but it does narrow it down. It does make it more difficult for them to jump through that hoop and just all of a sudden come up with, hey, look what we found in somebody's trunk here. Kind of activity. But now they've decided to make this, you know, oh, well, if it doesn't matter whether those, so up to 3 days. So the votes can all be in, everybody's got them in, and now they know, okay, we need 5,000 more ballots because we got, look, we found 5,000 more ballots just came in right after the election. This is where, and they're okay for that. They're all right with this. They're all good on this. Of course, the people who are in charge of the Nevada election are all Democrats, people who are on the boards, and all the AG and all this stuff. Nevada is in play. Nevada could be won. There's almost no pathway right now with the swing states where Kamala has a win. It's almost impossible now with regard to all of that. Now, that don't sit back on your haunches and think that, well, he's going to win, so I'm not going to vote. No, because you got to get out there and vote. you know, go out every day. Just go every day, several times a day, just go out and bowl. So we have this issue of that. And there's other places, there's other lawsuits go flying all over the place. Same kind of deal. They want to do drop boxes, all this kind of stuff about all this mail-in balloting, mail-in this and that, whether the ballots are going to be counted, who's going to be watching, who's going to be monitoring the ballots, who's going to be doing all kinds of activity like this is going on, lawsuit-wise, is going on all over the place. Now, and it's always the Democrats fighting back against what looks like something would make more integrity, voter integrity. Why? What is the reason they're fighting that for? All they say is, well, they're going to disenfranchise somebody. Just like this whole thing with the voter, what's going on in Michigan? Elon Musk ran them. And you're going to argue against Milan Math on the arc, but I'm fucking blast them. I think I'm having a stroke. We have Elon Musk is, you're going to argue with this guy with math. The AG of Michigan is a female lady who's, of course, part of the three amigos up there in Michigan who seem to be running the place with an iron fist. We have she comes out and says that, well, Elon's math is wrong because we have, I don't know what the numbers are. I can't remember what the numbers are off my head. So 7.2 million people registered to vote. We have 7.2 million people are of voting age in Michigan, and we have more than, we have like 1.2 more million on the ballot, on the registered, that are registered to vote, that aren't qualified or whatever it is she says. And they're slated to be removed after the election, after the election, over the next 2 or 3 years or whatever it is. By law, that's the way the law is. Well, no, take them off now. They're inactive or whatever they are. I can't remember what it is, however it is, should say it. What is going on? First of all, do you think, now I bet you could come up with 10,000 people in Michigan who are of voting age who are not registered to vote. I guarantee you could probably find that many people in Michigan of voting age, residents, who are not registered to vote. I guarantee you, 10,000, easy. And yet we're saying every single one of them and more are registered to vote in Michigan. No, folks, it doesn't work that way. I guarantee you, they're not everybody. It just doesn't happen. And they come out and tell us that, oh, this many millions of people in the country are, I guess there's some large number of Christians, is it 20 million Christians or some ridiculous amount, which I have a hard time believing this. Some ridiculous number of evangelical Christians don't vote. Now I know that there's Amish, there's Mennonite, there are some sects out there, there are some denominations out there who do not participate in the voting process. They don't run for office. They don't participate in the governmental system. I have a former quasi by marriage relative, distant relative that he doesn't vote. Now he's an older guy. He's in his 80s now. He doesn't vote. And I'm, why don't you vote? Well, separation of church and state. What? How does this work? Okay, so now I would think as an older fella, he should be setting an example. He should be saying, okay, I don't vote because personally I don't want to do it. I think that it's good for the church to vote, but it's not. He doesn't believe the church should vote. He doesn't think that anybody should vote in the church. If you're a believer, you shouldn't vote. Because this is not, our kingdom is not of this world. Whatever. I don't know. I never really got into it with him on a real full discussion because he kind of avoids the subject. He doesn't like to talk about it. Now I know he would vote Republican if he did vote, but he's not. I don't understand it. I do not understand it at all. Because you take this to its final conclusion and you say, okay, so nobody in the church should vote because that's separation of church and state. It's the kingdom is not of this world, so we live under a different government. You know, Jesus is our king. Whatever it is you want to say, whatever your justification is for not voting. My issue here is apparently you don't understand this form of government, that we are governed, they govern at our consent. They're not our leaders. They're not our overlords. We're not voting for a king here. We're voting for representatives to represent our rights to life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom, all these different freedoms that we are voting them in to protect for us, not to give us rights, but to protect the rights that God has endowed us to us. I'm not mad, okay? I'm not trying to be mad. I'm just trying to wrap my head around this idea that all of the religious people, the people who have moral standards, and I'm not saying that people who don't believe don't have moral standards. All I'm saying is you're turning over the government to people who are godless. Who theoretically have a different moral standard than God's standard. You're just turning the government over to them because they're going to decide. They're going to decide now who's. And do you think that they're going to uphold your rights? You think they're going to, those people who they elect are going to be these great, wonderful, moral standing up? Now, I guarantee you, don't get me wrong, there's some people out there who claim to be believers who are not necessarily. I'm not saying that, but all I'm saying is why are we turning over, abdicating our. I don't get it. I don't understand that mentality. Please, someone, please explain it to me. Because to me, it makes no sense whatsoever. But I digress. We have ballot boxes, by the way, are being burned, which is kind of fun. Ballot boxes are being burned. Up in Oregon. Now, this is pathetic in my opinion. First of all, I don't like the idea of ballot boxes. Okay, I just assume that they all went away. I still think election day should be a holiday, just everybody votes on it. And of course, now if you have certain physical issues or you know, travel issues, whatever it is, work issue, like I work, I'm not going to be able to be home to vote on the 5th. National holiday or not, I'm sure I would still have to work. But the nature of the work that I do for this particular company doesn't allow me to just stay home for the day. There are days we don't get off in this business. But if it was a holiday or if it was some kind of a deal where people, you know, the normal average everyday worker was able to get off and vote or whatever, that'd be fine. It'd be great. We got to work this out because now we not only have early voting, we have late voting. Like in Nevada, we have late voting, which is actually, there's a couple of different states. There's like 7 different states that kind of have this provision in there for ballots that come in after election day or some kind of late voting thing. And of course, the nefarious activity that can happen. There's all kinds of things that can happen with this. You can just say, well, it looks like we didn't win, so we're going to probably prop this up and we'll come up with this, you know, another 10,000 votes, whatever they need. So these ballot boxes apparently have burned. Now, this is kind of a catch-22. I don't know if this is somebody who doesn't like the ballot boxes and decided to light them on fire, or if it's somebody who is very much aware that in particular precincts or districts that there's a lot of. Now, normally they put these ballot boxes in very blue areas. That's the way they did in Wisconsin. They put these the ballot drop boxes were put in Democrat areas, or areas known to be more Democrat. And so I don't know if that's the case here or if these ballot boxes were placed in places where they knew there were more Republicans. And so these people came over and they tried to burn all the Republican boxes. I don't know or if they were Democrats and some Republican came over, some wacky nut jobs decided to burn these ballots. Now, the problem with this is now a person who, of course, now if you know where your ballot, if you're the one who dropped your ballot off in the box, then you know that ballot box caught on fire. Then you know your vote probably didn't count. You can go downtown. You can say, "Hey, did you register my vote? Is my vote in here? Do you show me as having voted?" They'll say, "No." Well, I want to vote again. There's a provisional ballot. That's the way they can do that. Now, if this is the case, if the case is that they don't have, if you weren't the one, in other words, if a mule came and got your ballot, dropped it off at that box, you have no idea whether your ballot was ever, where your ballot was taken. You have no idea. I mean, you can still go down and check. You can still, there's some place you can go online and check and see where your ballot is. If you vote early, you can see where that your vote was registered and counted and all that stuff. Which is, again, I don't understand the big press. Even the Republicans right now are pressing, and they're making a big deal out of the fact that there's like a 20% increase in the number of Republicans voting in early voting this year in most states that have early voting. And so it's amazing that there's the numbers that are showing up to vote early among Republicans who are typically traditionally hardly vote early at all. They usually vote on election day. Now, they're claiming that, well, this shows that this is going to be a landslide. No, it doesn't show that at all, because those people have now voted. They're not going to show up on election day. So the ratio on election day is probably going to be less. It's you know, you've only got so much going on here. Now, theoretically, maybe more people will be voting because they are able to vote early, which they wouldn't be able to vote on election day. So they're getting out there to vote. There's a whole lot of things here that play into this that could be. Now, the other issue of this is, who's watching these counts? Who's keeping track of the counts? And it's because I guarantee you they're counting these. They're looking at, and they're going to know in the last couple of days, they're going to know, hey, okay, we got to get a bunch more people out here to vote. We need to have a bunch of more. You know, 3 days prior to the election, we got to get all these mail-in ballots in there. Of course, now it doesn't matter in some states like Nevada. Well, just wait till election day, see how many people are showing up, see what all happens on election day here, and then we'll just go ahead and we'll just make up these other ballots and throw them in there. Because if we can get those in for up 3 days later, we can just pile all those in. We'll make sure we win. Now, Nevada and Arizona last year, in 2020, Stephen Crowder did a pretty good job of investigating a lot of addresses. There was a lot of people on the rolls that supposedly these registered voters. There was no houses there. They were looking all over the place. They found hundreds of them that were not, and that was just a very small sampling. He apparently has some kind of large network this year of, you know, stop the cheat kind of thing. I don't know what he's calling it, but they've got watchers all over the place in some of the swing states. They're quite an extensive network of people that he's put together supposedly to try to thwart off some of this stuff. We'll see how that goes. On to something else. Madison Square Garden. Let's talk about that. Huge blowout. I know I said something a little bit about it yesterday. And the comedian that was there. Now, the left is hating this thing, hating it. And of course, they're trying to wash it behind the scenes. They're doing all this stuff. Even the Joe Rogan interview last week, it disappeared for a while. If you did a search for it, you couldn't find it. The Joe Rogan and Donald Trump interview, 3-hour-long video, tens of millions of people watched this thing within the first couple of days. Of course, Kamala does one, and it's 200,000 people. Speaking of, did I ever finish up? But what was happening was Google. Oh, we accidentally made a mistake with the algorithm, and it was somehow going off to do something else. And when people were looking for it, it was underneath some other kind of category, and blah blah blah. Why is it all these mistakes always only happen to conservative sides? Just ask yourself that question there. Why is it that always happens that way? By the way, this political theater thing that happened up here with Gretchen Whitmer and Kamala, they're sitting at the bar, they're yucking it up, having a good old time, drinking beer, sitting back, cussing and swearing, drinking beer, because that's going to get in touch with the American male. That's what they need to do. You know, let their belly buttons hang out. Hang over their belt. Or just sitting here having a beer. We're just like one of the guys. There were, if you pan back, there's pictures now of this whole event. There are microphones, and we're not talking little microphones like that you clip on yourself. There are great big boom mics up over the top of them. It was a stage. This whole thing was set up as a stage. There are cameras there on tripods. It's not like somebody was taking this video on a phone. This was, oh, we just happened to catch them there at the bar drinking. These people are pathetic. And when you see these two sitting there, first of all, Gretchen Whitmer, when I hear her talk, but now she's got a visual. If you look at her, the way she dresses, everything she does, the way she does her makeup, the way she does her hair, this woman is an absolute, she has got some serious personality issues. Like disorders on top of, she's not just, narcissism is not necessarily a personality disorder. It is a personality problem. Everybody has a little bit of narcissism in them. Some people are off the chart. She's off the chart, but she's also, I would say, borderline personality disorder. I'm not a psychologist. I don't know. All I'm saying is this woman is psycho. She's a power mongering, power hungry, scary individual. So we have Kamala and her sitting down next to each other during this whole thing. Now, I've got some audio here coming up of Kamala that you're gonna love it, because now we discovered a couple new accents, a couple new things now that she characters that she portrays. That is just more cringe than ever. And I just, getting back to this whole creepy thing, is just more cringe than cringe can be. But in the meantime, I'm sure Google will. So this whole political theater thing, which they had this whole stage set up. When you look at it, it's like you have cameramen, you have directors, you have all kinds of stuff back there. They're at this bar. They got the lights down. It's the whole thing is nothing but political theater. It was all done for the camera. And of course they act like, oh, we got caught. Oh, look, there's microphones here. Oh no. This whole thing was scripted. She's been on a couple of different people's podcasts. Now she's trying to do the podcast thing. Of course, now she's flailing miserably at this because she doesn't say anything. She just keeps yakking away. Now after kicking some Christians out of one of her rallies recently, somebody yells, "Christ is King, Jesus is Lord." Oh, you're at the wrong rally. I think you meant to go down to the smaller rally down the street. And of course, the crowd just thinks that's really funny. Which it wasn't a smaller rally, and it was just pathetic. Somebody yells out the same thing at a Republican rally, and it's 10,000 people join in with them. I don't understand what, including the person on stage. It's just the ridiculousness. And then she has the audacity. To sit up and say, now remember, she spent a week saying, should never stand behind the seal of the United States of America. Never again. Never again. Never again. She likes to repeat herself over and over and over and over. And she likes to bask in making a statement and letting the people just rip roar about it. Of course, now, you know, there's all kinds of signs saying applaud, telling people when to applaud, how to applaud. There's all kinds of other people there who know the speech. They got their, you know, there are actually people planted in the audience who are the ones who are clapping and doing all the stuff when they know they're supposed to clap and go nuts about certain things and make it sound like, oh, this is awesome. This is awesome. This is her moment. Here's one of those examples. This is really awkward. I don't know how to explain this, but it is very awkward and I don't know what to tell you here. This is just awkward. It is creepy and awkward. She's at a church, I guess, or something. This church crowd. And now she's got this pastoral, you know, preacher man kind of thing going on. She's got her whole, I'll let you listen to it because it gives me the creeps, folks. This gives me the creeps. Donald Trump doesn't do this. Donald Trump just comes out. He is who he is. I can't do an imitation. I could do an imitation of him, but I'm not in the groove right now. This you gotta listen to this.
That's why we fight for our democracy. That's why we fight for our democracy. Every voice is important.
This is bizarre, folks. This is just weird and creepy. I don't know how to explain this. She gets this weird smile on her face, and her face presses back with this weird thing going on. I don't understand it at all. I really don't. It's like a smile. It's like this weird smile she gets on her face where every muscle is pressed back. It's a phony smile. I don't like it at all. Now, here she is. This is courtesy of Sky News, so you'll hear. I might not be able to cut it off before the moderator gets back in on this thing, but this is her again. She's talking another situation where it's just bizarre. This is just weird stuff.
Drinking may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The path may seem hard, the work may seem heavy, but joy cometh in the morning, and church morning is on its way.
This is just bizarre. It is just weird and bizarre and creepy, in my opinion. I don't know how else to explain this. It's what's wrong with these people? We're supposed to just be okay with this. Now she goes into her lot. She talks about her faith a little bit, but she doesn't actually. She talks about faith. She doesn't talk about who Christ is. She doesn't talk about her experience. She's told stories about when she was young, when she was a young kid, she would sit around celebrating Kwanzaa. She would be celebrating Kwanzaa as a family. They'd sit around and celebrate Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa wasn't even invented when you were a child. It was not even a thing when you were a child. Nobody was celebrating Kwanzaa back then. She makes it sound like this is a historic thing that just went on and on and on for, you know. This person is phony through and through. And here's what bothers me about this is that she's being propped up by everybody around her. Now, she made this comment that she was asked recently, and maybe I'll play some of this tomorrow. She was asked what some of her weaknesses are. What are some of your weaknesses are, and how do you plan to overcome them? Well, you know, some people say this is a strength. She thinks of it as a weakness, and I think it's a strength. Whatever. In this course, everybody that plays this little thing where it got this thing from the office where he said, my weaknesses are my strengths. I care too much. I try too much. I work too hard at my job kind of thing. she goes on with this stuff and one thing she says is, I like to surround myself with people who are intelligent and up on the issues. You know, I overstudy things. I overachieve. I want to kick the tires on this. I want to do this. I want to do that. All this stuff where she says, I got all these people around me who I surround myself with people who are knowledgeable and they can give me good advice. And really, because are you doing that with your campaign? And how many people are sticking around? Because I hear a lot of them, like the turnover rate in your staff is ridiculous. And who are these people on your staff that we don't know who they are, who are so intelligent, so much more intelligent than you? Maybe they should be running for president. If you got some people surrounding you. See, that's the difference between Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and Donald Trump or J.D. Vance even. I guarantee you, Donald Trump walks into a room, he's in charge. He's the one asking the questions, making the decisions. And you know he is. He's in charge. Joe Biden walks into a room and he basically says, what can I say today? What do you want me to do today? How am I supposed to do this? What do you want me to do? Kamala Harris is reading from a teleprompter. It is absolutely ridiculous. And oh my word, I can't believe what I'm seeing here. This is... Who goes to these churches? I don't understand. And of course, there's protesters. I got it. I got to tell you, people who are speaking out at some of these events and calling her, shouting her down, shouting her out, and there's some, especially these churches, there are some people who are standing up. I have a lot of respect for you. That's a very courageous thing to do. I have to say, I don't know that. I think it'd be, I would probably protest by not attending, but to be able to attend and then stand up in opposition, knowing that there's Secret Service there, that, and you're going to be escorted out, I guarantee you, by putting up a fuss. And that's not the kind of person I typically am. However, if I'm caught in a situation where there's something going on, I'm going to start talking. I have a tendency to kind of be the jokester of the bunch. I tend to speak when I probably shouldn't speak. I try to tell jokes or say something or whatever when I shouldn't. Like some speaker asks a question, I just yell out an answer. Yeah, rah, rah, rah. Usually I'm wrong. But it's one of those things where if there's something that's being said that's really like off the wall, like really like damaging, untrue, it takes everything in me to not say something. I probably would, in fact, if my wife wasn't there, if I was there by myself, I'd probably speak up because I just don't want to, you know, crush anybody else around me, so to speak. I'll talk to people afterwards, confront the leader afterwards, whatever it is. Usually it's something like that where they, you know, they can, I'll give them a chance to make a correction or whatever. But they're just, oh, the insanity. I guess I've gone too long here already. I'm trying to keep these shows a little bit shorter because I tend to have a little bit better listenership when I have shorter shows. So folks, once again, I want to thank you for listening today. Thank you for putting up with my ranting and raving. We've got a lot of things pressing into the next few days, especially this next week. We're basically down to, what are we down to, about a week? Just over a week away. Is it? It's next Tuesday. Is that right? I think it's next Tuesday. It is coming down to the wire here, folks. Of course, I'm sure there'll be some more things happening. And it'll be real interesting to see how this all plays out. Don't be surprised if, of course, there's some states where they're saying it could take us 10 to 12 days after the election before we find out really who won. Really? I guess that's the kind of administration they're running over there right now. This is, you know, and of course, there's going to be a lot of violence if Trump doesn't win. But really? How's that work? Because you're in charge. I guess you're in charge of all that. Because there wasn't any violence after Trump won. Of course not. No. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your day. See you.